All right. Tonight's title is called What's That Sound? What's that sound? Can you hear it? Can you hear them coming? You can run, but you can't hide. You might as well come out and fight. They cast their long shadow over everything we aspire to do, every new land we seek to inhabit, every dream we hope to pursue. Today, we will call them bullies, but they are the same old giants, and they have intimidated in the same old ways. After years of cowering in fear, we begin to measure ourselves against them. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, there's a great verse that I just wanted to read before we move on. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 2 says, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Who can stand before the descendants of Anak? You know, who will come out to fight Goliath? Remember this? Mm-hmm. Who will climb into the ring with the champion? Who will go for us? You know, these people of God, the people of God, they paid a great price to reach the land of their dreams. But what did they find when they arrived?
Giant.
Giant, big, huge, tall, strong, muscular people. Remember how big Goliath was? He was like 9 feet tall. I mean, he was massive, kind of intimidating, right? Of course they would be in the land of milk and honey, right? The giants always get there first. And they take what they want. You know, our first impulse is to listen to the delegation that brings back a recommendation to surrender. Because in this situation, they sent out people to check it out. And they came back with this report saying, we were like grasshoppers, right? These guys are so huge, so strong, so intimidating. We're just better off running away. Otherwise, we could really get in a problem. So the first impulse is listen to that, and that brings back a recommendation to surrender. Remember fear? Yeah. Defeats the promises of God as the believer's greatest enemy. You know, it's a big world. Why not find some other land? Do we have to go into a land of giants? Maybe milk and honey are too rich of a diet anyway. I mean, who wants milk and honey, right? Perhaps water and stale bread will be enough. You know, we can always learn to settle for less, but God does not and will not have us accept that recommendation because he does expect a little bit more. So if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and go back to verse 1, I thought that was great. Listen, can you hear him coming? You can run, but you can't hide. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1 says, hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go into dispossessed nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? You know, these guys had a reputation as somebody you wouldn't really want to meet. We used to say in a dark alley, these guys you wouldn't want to meet in the daylight, right? They were, it was like, you see them, you're going the other direction. So who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so shall you drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Incredible record. But you know what? The Anakim, they're not found in the telephone directory. You can't find them on the internet, right? You know why? Because today they have different names. Fear, discouragement, loneliness, worry, guilt, temptation, anger, resentment, doubt, procrastination, failure, jealousy. Those are the giants of today. Call them what you will. And really, they're all giants, and they're only giants, after all, like Goliath. He was a shade over 9 feet tall. He was bigger than the biggest basketball player. And I heard that there was one that was close to 8 feet tall, I think. Big old fellow. But it only added up to a bigger dent in the pavement once he fell. The bigger they come, the harder they fall, right? You know, I think it's pretty obvious that all of these traps are designed to ensnare and they're designed to capture people. But especially tricky is they're designed to enslave God's people with these particular giants. You know, it's been said that the secrecy of his success is the secrecy of his moves. But we are vigilant, right? We're on guard. We are ever watchful, and it is so refreshing to know that we have the Spirit of God, which empowers us above our natural ability to walk according to an even greater reality, the power of love. Doesn't this just sound so cool? All these things that I mentioned, these are things we all have contended with in our life. You're not getting away from it. I'm not asking you for a show of hands. Wow, jealousy, resentment, anger. You know, it's seemingly insignificant in a world that exalts greed, exalts lust, it exalts strife. Love has been tremendously undervalued. And yet, it is the Creator God's gift to us as being partakers of the divine nature. Take your Bibles or whatever device you may be using and go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verses 2 through 4 in the King James Version, I'll go ahead and read them here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Does that just say some things? A little bit here and a little bit there, a little trickle, you know, if you're good enough. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says his divine power is given unto us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that doesn't mean religion. That means godliness. That means having a relationship with God Almighty. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might, what? Be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, here's my question. What giant is giving you grief right now? Perhaps fear has your number. Maybe loneliness has you in case. But whatever the giant may be bullying you, let's be clear. The message is God is the greatest giant of all. He goes before you like a consuming fire, if his word can be believed. And either it's the word of God from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 or none of it, right? We just heard this very recently. It's either the word of God or it's not. Either Jesus Christ lied or he told the truth. Amen? The word, and nothing but the word. Oh, but it's so easy to entertain all these other things, you know. I feel this and I feel that. All those things have to be sort of brought into their proper perspective. But boy, feelings are powerful. Emotions are powerful, aren't they? You know, it's clear from the Word of God, the Scriptures, that we serve a God who sends. He is constantly sending his people into new and wonderful lands. Career fulfillment? How about happy marriages? Rich abundance? Financial prosperity? And you know what? Probably you know exactly what kind of land he has led you to. And here's the thing. You stand on the outskirts looking over the fence, and you're wondering, should I make my move? Yearning to place a tentative toe over the borderline, except there's giants there, and there's shadows of those giants. Can't you feel it, though? The hand of God himself is on your shoulder. He whispers to you, as to the Israelites, go in and dispossess nations greater and mightier for yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven. God is always encouraging us. He's always helping us towards a more worthy endeavor. He says, I don't know about you, someone said, but those marching orders send my heart racing. They send chills up your spine. They leave you ready to move, restless, like a thoroughbred in the gate, ready for the race to start. Remember Secretariat? Remember some of these great stories of these underdog types of things? They came up and, man, they became champions. David was a shepherd. He was like a teenager, and he went out there and he whipped the giant's butt. Yeah, I want to see what the wonders that God has laid out for me. I want the milk and the honey and not another scrap of stale bread. And you know what else? I want to see those giants get what's coming to them. Don't you? Amen. It says there, he will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord has said to you. Well, what a great day that will be. Isn't it about time that we stand tall and face the giants in our own lives? You know why? Because no one else is going to do it for you. You want to get the word where the rubber meets the road? You know, it happens, but I don't believe anyone aspires to be a loser. If so, as a believer, they have identified with something other than what God says about them and what Jesus Christ has done for them. Who, you know, some people, I've said this before, you know, failure is an event that happens in a person's life. It is not an identifying characteristic of a person. It's not who that person is. You can't look at somebody and say, he's a failure, she's a failure. Failure happens. And many times it happens so that we learn to get better at it, because we learn from our mistakes to not continue to do it. No one aspires to that. So our feelings and our attitudes would be well served to emulate the following statements. We are children of the Most High God. Anybody think of a record where that might be stated in the Bible for you Bible scholars? Well, I'm prepared. So for about 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's right. We're children of the Most High God. I don't care what giant comes against us. That is what the truth of the word is. And maybe you've heard this statement, but people love the narrative more than they love the truth. And I totally agree with that. See, if I'm a good storyteller, boy, I could sound really believable. Yeah, Barney, man, he can really tell a story. I didn't like him. But what if what I'm saying is really not truthful? It's really interesting. We're children of the Most High God. And why is that? Because God loved. Because God loved us. Most of us are still learning in a huge learning curve about what love really is. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, what? Through him who what? Loved us. There it is again. We're children of God because of love. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us because of love. And finally, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. I can do all, not I, not the emphasis is not I can do all things through. It's I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The emphasis is really on the Christ, the Spirit of Christ that is within us, which empowers us. Another translation, it says, we are able to do all things and capable through the Christ who infuses inner strength into us. And you know, if you infuse something, like I love hot peppers, so if you put hot peppers into olive oil, you know what? The characteristics, the flavor, everything of the olive oil changes. Just like pickles. You put cucumbers in this briny, cool solution, guess what? Guess what you come out with? Pickles. Pickles. You know? You can't take that characteristic now away from the pickle and turn it back into a cucumber. Christ is in you. Christ is infused everything that he is within the believer's life. See? Our nature has changed. Our characteristic has changed. Our abilities have changed. We're no longer Barney Barnhart of the old way. I'm now Barney Barnhart, son of God, child of God, more than conquerors, infused with everything that God has made me to be. And when my mind is renewed to that truth, boom, explosive power comes forward. Does that come with a price you have to pay? Yes, it does. You have to control your thinking. To say and to believe what the Word of God says about you, no matter what giant is screaming at you in your face. You're blah, blah, blah. You're this. You're that. I feel this. I'm horrible. You got to draw a line in the sand and just say, enough. You got to deal with your enemy on a personal level, or he will rack and ruin your life like he has with many, many, many Christian lives. Finally, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, this is really cool. I'll quote the other one, John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than me shall he do, because I go unto my Father. This one in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, is almost unbelievable. Could we do it in our own natural ability? No, 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 1,000 times no. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, it says, we can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. We can cast out demons. Why? Because of love. Because of love. You know, all the 9 manifestations listed in 1 Corinthians 12 are all energized by the love of God. Because right in the middle of that explanation of the manifestations of Holy Spirit, that's that great chapter on 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it says, what? I'm nothing. See? You know, God has the strength to bring you victory over any oppressor. And you know what? After the return, you can ask Joshua about that. Or Moses, for that matter. Or Abraham, or Daniel, or Isaiah, or David, or any of the apostles. These guys were all giant killers. Every one of them. And in the end, they became giants themselves. Perhaps that will happen to you. It's available. So you know what? Have the attitude of a champion. Walk in unafraid and prepare to do battle in the land of the giants. They're out there. Can you hear them? What's that sound? That, my friends, is the sound of victory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. That's the sound of victory that Jesus Christ won for us. And the least we can do is at least try some of it on. Try it a little bit. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful Word of God and the Spirit of God that we've been given. We will not be intimidated. We will not be threatened. We will look to you, Father, for the power and strength and enlightened understanding that we have eyes that open, ears that hear, Father, that your voice is 10 times louder than anything else that's roaring around us, and that we can have great confidence as your men and women in this administration of grace to walk in the power of your Spirit. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.